Just little.
Oh, let me. So we went. So in addition to going to the park and seeing the seals, we saw, or we went to Goodwill. I told you this.
Ah,
And let me
yes.
show
The
you.
thing. Yes, the bag. First of all, love the color immediately.
So
It's one of
this
the
is the
sling
bag.
bags. Is that Karma
Yes.
Rock?
Yes. And
Oh
I looked at, I like immediately saw the brand and I was like,
That's
oh
Karla Rock.
my gosh. Yeah. And then
Oh my God.
yeah, so it was $4.99.
Yes.
And I looked it up online. She sells these for $195. And
Excellent steal. What a beautiful color.
I know
I
it's the
love her
Merlot
style.
color.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. And it
A
goes like
beautiful.
this.
Oh. Oh, what a freaking find! Ah, oh, that is top class.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Blair.
And I'm Kirsten, and we are Mediocre
Mediocre
Content.
Content.
And I am so excited for today's episode.
Indeed.
This is one of my
Indeed.
favorites, even if I didn't
This,
like cats.
honestly, it combines like everything. It's like the cute factor with the cat factor and childhood nostalgia. It's like a whole package, this episode.
I agree. Are you having a good start to your week?
I am.
We're
I
already in
am.
May.
I did cut my finger cutting vegetables today.
Top 10.
So take that with what you will. I'm just, it's par for the course, I feel like.
What did you end up making?
Salad.
Oh, I do love a
A
good salad. What is a
salad. A
salad?
salad.
SpongeBob for the win.
Yeah.
Yeah, just keep the lettuce and tomato and get rid of the buns and the condiments. It's the fanciest salad I've ever seen.
That's right.
It's great. I'm sorry about your finger.
That's okay. Yeah. She'll
Beautiful.
recover at some point.
You got a
But I
pretty
got a
cute
lot I
Band-Aid.
got a I know it's a llama Band-Aid. So
Nice. Oh.
we are just a couple in our 30s and we do buy child Band-Aids and that is who we are as people.
I raise you an experience. I don't even have to do that because my mom so graciously buys them for us and puts them in our stocking for Christmas. So,
That's wonderful.
full disclosure, mom, if you're listening, I just want you to know that very often Tyler uses the princess band-aids because number one, that's the one under the sink. And number two, it's the only thing that will stay for a long time, but also not rip his hair out.
See, and that is why the princess band-aids are elite.
10 out of 10 Princess Disney Band-Aids. So,
We love that for Tyler.
also not sponsored, but I feel like we wouldn't be real sad about
I mean, you can always use
it.
band-aids.
Especially when it has Ariel on it.
That's right.
Redhead to a redhead.
So does he pick out the Ariel one?
No, it just happened to be one time.
That's cute. I like that for him.
Don't worry. Technically, she gives him different ones, but I usually just put the Disney one, like the Disney
Yeah.
princess ones down there. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable.
Anyway, that is not nearly as important as this episode, in fairness.
Right. So let's get going here. Disclaimer, we don't know what we're talking about most of the time. If you have come to the podcast to get any kind of advice or information that you're going to apply in your regular day-to-day life, please don't do that. But we are the place to learn about things that you may not have come across in your regular day-to-day algorithm on the social media. So we encourage you to do your own research, comment, interact with us, let us know if we got anything wrong, and yeah, we'll go from there.
Sounds good. Unfortunately, I will go ahead and say that the good news that I have has nothing to do with cats or Hello Kitties. So I'm sorry about that.
Say it because there's like a bunch
What?
of it, like asparagus wars. What's happening? I'm confused.
Okay, so we had like the emu wars at one point, there's a consistent war with kangaroos potentially,
Oh, all right.
but anyway, in Australia there's also apparently a war on asparagus, which is quite interesting.
All right.
I don't know. The headline said Aussie man invents weapon in war against invasive asparagus fern, the asparagus assassin.
Wow.
I mean, that's one heck of a title.
It is.
Any hoodle. It says that while most Americans will think of asparagus as a tasty complement to a fish dinner, didn't realize it was just with fish, but I like asparagus in general. I don't
I do too. It does make your pee smell
know.
weird though, so
That is the history of asparagus.
it is it's, you know, you have to really like plan
You
where, you
do,
know, your
yes.
times for that. Anyway, go ahead.
So, alternatively, it's kind of a potato substitute, apparently. I didn't know that. You could like smush it around or something. I don't know. I don't really know. It
Is it
says,
like cauliflower? Like how they've been using that for everything?
don't know. It says inedibly mushy misery stick substituted for potatoes. So apparently, it's if you don't
Oh.
like asparagus. I don't know.
Oh. Okay. All
I would
right.
never describe it as potato-like, though. I don't
Oh, maybe it's just like
know.
they're using it to be healthier,
Maybe that
like
could
as a
be.
substitute for starches.
Which I love potatoes. I know we're
Oh,
getting off track here,
same.
but
I
potatoes
know.
for the win, man. It's apparently very different, though. So America's like, yeah, asparagus. And apparently in Australia, like, crap, asparagus. So
Fair.
this asparagus fern is one of the most serially invasive plants on the continent, which is
Ah,
quite the statement.
that's why we hate that.
That's
Okay.
why. And one Australian man has gone as far as to declare war on them, armed with a clever weapon of mass de-weeding that he invented himself. In the
Okay.
northern, I know, right? In the northern state of Queensland, Ron Gooch, fantastic name,
Fantastic name.
took his battery electric drill and modified the hole saw attachment with a sector of sewer piping to create the asparagus assassin, which he has used for years to clear the invasive basket asparagus fern. I would suggest you just go look up what this thing looks like, because I don't know, and apparently, I feel like that's contextually important. Australia has spent half a century trying to eliminate this species, apparently, and as the isolated continent was overwhelmed by the species very quickly, it filled unoccupied niches in the landscape. I feel like this is similar to our kudzu in America. It's not an
Yeah, that's what I was
asparagus
gonna
fern,
say.
yeah, but it's very similar. So, like in America, on the highways, when you drive through and you look up into the hills, there's usually what's called kudzu vine, like taking over.
Especially on the East Coast, I would
Yeah,
say.
Virginia is littered. Some of the most famous culprits are foxes, feral cats, and cane toads, but prickly pear cactus had become the tyrant pest of the vegetable kingdom. It was eventually eradicated from Australia with the help of a tiny insect, but the basket asparagus fern has only human enemies like Gooch at the moment. The plant was brought as an ornamental that eventually spread out of control, as usual. But there are reasons to be sunny about the situation, because there's apparently a local group of bush care volunteers that found that Gooch's asparagus assassin was so effective that they needed more and secured a grant for five more. With extensive underground root systems, pulling the asparagus fern out of the ground isn't enough. It'll just regrow. So the assassin is used to tunnel down into the crown of the roots, completely encircle it, and then saw away all of the connecting roots, ensuring that it can't just regenerate and start to grow back. He isn't planning on monetizing the tool because he just doesn't want to manage the production, I guess, which is like, okay. But he does hope that others will kind of use his design to start combating these weeds. And he demonstrated the difference between, essentially what a regular saw would do versus his version. And this is the only way that they can get rid of it, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't, that's sad. I don't know how you get rid of kudzu, probably similar. And that's the thing, like, these root systems are so aggressive and
Yeah.
so vivacious that even if you
Yeah.
have a single piece left, it can probably get itself back together.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, I don't, I mean, this is fine. I mean, it's good news for Australia, I
Yeah,
guess.
it would be like us trying to find a solution for kudzu. At least they're finding one. And if it's really
Yeah.
invasive, then it probably kills a lot of their plants and stuff.
Yeah. Did you? I heard somewhere that like tumbleweeds are invasive.
Yeah, have you seen the photos of like the Midwest completely overrun by them? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary. Like it's
It
like
is.
snow, but
Yeah,
desert.
I don't like it.
No.
Will not be experiencing that hopefully anytime soon.
Yeah, if anybody's never seen the tumbleweeds in like the Midwest, in the Americas, feel free to take a picture. They
And
literally will take over.
they're literally like porcupines. They're like
Yeah.
very pointy and like unpleasant.
And hard to get, like, how do you get rid of it? It doesn't melt
Right.
like snow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can burn them,
Yeah,
apparently.
apparently. I mean, that's probably your only option, honestly. Like,
Yeah.
shovel them out and burn them or
That's
something.
what I would do.
Yeah. But a lot of them apparently attach to the houses and stuff. So I don't know
Yeah.
how you get them down. I don't know.
I
That's a
don't know either.
Midwest problem. I don't have that problem. So
Yeah.
I don't know how to
Sorry,
deal with it.
Midwest. You're on your
Sorry.
own.
I don't know how to help. All right. We have the next part, which is still kind of nature-y, and it's about bumblebees sharing knowledge like humans and chimpanzees do, suggesting that the hive mind is significantly more personal than we thought. So, bumblebees can teach each other new behavior, too complex for them to learn by themselves, and this was a suggestion by a paper published in Nature that essentially posits humans and bees sharing knowledge almost exactly the same way. In the study, a bee taught to solve a puzzle for the sugary reward was able to train other bees to complete the task, providing evidence that bees can socially learn some behaviors at a level of complexity previously thought to be unique to humans and, of course, our ancestors. Culture is a word that's thrown around a lot, but at the root of it is a designation of a particular behavior that is socially learned and persists over time. Increasing evidence suggests that, like human culture, animal culture can be cumulative with sequential behaviors building on previous ones, and human cumulative culture involves behaviors so complex that they lie beyond the capacity of any individual to independently discover during their lifetime, which is why we all learn from each other and share knowledge, etc. However, this behavior has not yet been demonstrated in an invertebrate species generally considered at the bottom of the barrel of intelligent life, which is not fair. Bumblebees, though, are extremely social insects. As you know, they live in hives, so there's
Right,
that.
right.
And of course, have proven themselves capable of acquiring non-natural behaviors such as string pulling and ball rolling, which I was not aware of. And this is via social learning in order to gain rewards, which is how you train your dog or your cat or your
Yeah.
whomever, right? Same principle. There were a couple of colleagues that set up difficult tasks for the bees in order to investigate whether they were capable of learning these complex behaviors from others within their colony. They designed a two-step puzzle box in which the bees first must move an obstacle to allow a rotating lid to be opened, revealing a sucrose reward. Members from three separate colonies were given 24 days to work this out, but not a single one succeeded independently through trial and error. It took around 2 days to train demonstrator bees to complete the task, often requiring a reward at the first step. However, untrained bees quickly learned to open the two-step box from the demonstrators without needing a reward after the first step. The findings provide evidence that bumblebees are capable of social learning and possibly cultural transmission, which also tells me while the first bee couldn't really figure out the language the human was learning, or teaching them to try and figure it out, because in my opinion, the bees speak the same language. They were probably able to disseminate what the steps were needed to complete the task, which is why they didn't need a reward at the first one.
Right.
That would be my assumption, because they know how to talk to each other, and humans are just like, take this, put there, and they don't speak English, so.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I can't really see, like, is it good news? Maybe. Are we anticipating teaching bees to take over infrastructure? I don't know. But is it cool news? Yes, I would say yes.
Yeah, definitely cool. I think like bees obviously are very capable. It's kind of
Yes.
like ants too because they
Yeah.
have that like hive mind situation. So that's neat.
Yeah, I mean, I guess bees will take over at some point. I don't know.
I mean,
It's fine.
arguably better than
Arguably
what we have going on right now.
That's pretty valid.
It's like, have you seen on TikTok the women who are asked, would you rather be stuck in the woods with a man or a bear? Yeah.
Yes. There's also this cute little lady. I assume it's a lady that was in the wood, like at her house, and she's got to live somewhere where bears are really common because she's in the forest. And she walks out, and there's a bear hanging by the tree, and then there's a bear that's in her driveway, like in the way of where she would go to like get to her car. And she like walks out, and it was like a stitch or whatever, and she's just like, "Hi, bear!" And she like walks over to the other bear. The bear on the path starts running away. She goes, "All right, bye, bear!" And she's just like walking up to her car, and I'm like, "Well." Just saying.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Oh, good for her. Anyway, well, this is not about bears. This is about cats, kind
This
of.
is about, well,
A
as
cat.
we'll learn, it's not about, technically, it's not about a cat.
No, that's fair.
As we shockingly reveal some truths here.
You
All
buckle
right,
up.
buckle up. All right, so obviously this episode is about Hello Kitty. As a child, I did have Hello Kitty wall decals on my wall.
So cute.
And some stuffed animal Hello Kitties as well. I feel like she's widely accepted throughout the world. And very popular amongst the children.
Agreed. And her little friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, Hello Kitty is a cartoon character whose likeness adorns hundreds of products for children and adults throughout the world. Created in 1979 by the Japanese merchandising company Sanrio, and known internationally as Hello Kitty, the official character name Kitty White is a small, round-faced, cartoon cat-like girl with black eyes, a yellow nose, no mouth, and a red bow perched on her left ear.
Kitty White.
Sanrio maintains that Hello Kitty is a girl and not a cat,
Okay.
although she displays feline characteristics such as pointed ears, whiskers, and tail.
I'm so sorry. Do you know that video where it's just like, if it looks like a duck, if it sounds like a
Sounds like a duck.
duck, that's what this sounds like to
I think the only logical conclusion is that Hello Kitty is a furry.
All right. I don't
And
think
we
that
are
term
not
was
about,
out.
and we are not about to talk about that right now.
Wow.
So according to the biography established by Sanrio, Hello Kitty was born in a suburban Lon in suburban London, where she lives with her parents and her twin sister Mimi.
So cute.
Among the simple pleasures she enjoys are baking cookies, playing the piano, and above all, making friends. The third grader's playmates include a rabbit, a bear, a raccoon, and a pair of monkeys. Hello Kitty's primary colored, simple, and wholesome world appealed to young children.
Agreed.
While her official character profile calls herself Hello Kitty, her real name is Kitty White, as we talked about earlier. And she was born on November 1st. Her height is described as five apples.
Or how many
And
Washington Monuments is
her
that?
weight is three apples. Although various media depicts different sizes, obviously.
Yeah,
She is
yeah.
portrayed as cute, shy, bright, sweet, kind-hearted, and tomboyish, beautiful girl. And she is very close to her younger twin sister, Mimi. Kitty is good at baking cookies, although she claims that she's awful, an awful chef in The Wonderful Sisters, which I think is like a movie or something.
Yeah.
And loves mama's homemade apple pie.
Of
She
course.
likes to collect small, cute things. She's in third grade, and her favorite subjects are English, music, and art. Her blood type is A,
Very specific.
because we needed to know that. And Hello Kitty's trademark signature is her red bow on her left ear.
My goodness. I don't know if I ever saw Wonderful Sisters, but I did used to watch either a TV show or movies of Hello Kitty, and I
Okay.
remember her and Mimi, and it was very cute.
Yeah. I honestly never consumed any of the like media.
Oh,
I just had like the toys and the like stuff.
the songs were 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So another fun fact, which I thought was really interesting from like a marketing perspective. A spokesperson from Sanrio says that Hello Kitty is not normally given a mouth because, quote, without the mouth, it's easier for the person looking at Hello Kitty to project their feelings onto the character. And
Interesting.
that the person can be happy or sad together with Hello Kitty.
Aww.
There has been some suggestion that Hello Kitty had its origins in the Maneki Miko, and that the name Hello Kitty itself is a back translation of Maneki Niko, which means beckoning cat in English.
Wow, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Cute.
Yeah. So Sanrio created Hello Kitty as part of a line of cartoon characters to establish its products. Hello Kitty first appeared on children's items such as coin purses, and by the mid-1980s had gained worldwide fame. The original vinyl coin purse marking Hello Kitty's grand debut to the world in 1975. The character's first appearance on the coin purse was in Japan, which ended up being the hottest selling item that year, which came as a surprise to everyone.
Really? She's adorable.
The image decorated a wide range of merchandise aimed at young girls, in particular personal care items such as toothbrushes, barrettes, school supplies, pens, pencils, writing paper. Such items helped connect children's play to the adult world. In the 1990s, Sanrio began marketing Hello Kitty products to adult women, such as retro objects like handbags, makeup compacts. Sporting the iconic character's face appealed to the senses of both nostalgia and irony, coinciding with the rise of Japanese kawaii or cuteness culture. And if you don't know what that is, you should really look it up because it is adorable and I'm obsessed.
It is very adorable. Also, you should look up TJ Maxx or your local Marshalls because they all have Hello Kitty travel gear and mirrors right now. So
it's true. It's true. At first in the domestic Japanese market and later internationally, Sanrio further expanded its Hello Kitty product lines to include jewelry, electronics, household appliances, along with other large ticket items. I would like to say that I had a Hello Kitty alarm clock, and it was like a cup of tea with a little lemon in it, and the lemon like lit up, and then Hello Kitty, like there's a little Hello Kitty figure on top in the cup of tea, and she was the snooze button.
That's precious.
It was so cute.
So
and
cute.
I saw it recently in like a movie or something. Like one of the characters had it, and I can't remember which one it is.
That's super cute, though.
Yeah.
I don't think I really had any merchandise from Sanrio. I don't even know if Choco Cat is part of Sanrio, but I remember collecting the crap out of Choco Cat.
Choco Cat is a big deal. I don't think Choco Cat is Sanrio, but it's in the same font.
Yeah, it's
in
like the chocolate
vibe.
Version of of Kitty
yeah.
White, I guess.
Yeah, totally.
Kitty Chocolate, I guess.
Yeah. Hello Kitty starred in several television series, which Kirsten watched,
love,
apparently. Beginning with the American animated program Hello Kitty's Furry Tale Theater in 1987, and also appeared in books and video games. In Japan, Sanrio established the theme parks Puro Land in 1990, which was in Tokyo, and Harmony Land in 1991 in Oita, which both feature its licensed characters, most prominent among them Hello Kitty. And in 2008, Hello Kitty was named Japan's official tourism ambassador in China.
Whoa.
Yeah.
They know what's up.
They do.
They're like, Hello Kitty,
well,
that's that
and
girl.
Mascots are like a huge thing over there. So I feel like Hello Kitty being a tourism ambassador to China is not a bad vibe.
It's not, no.
All right. So the history of Hello Kitty. So in 1962, Shintaro Tsuji, the founder of Sanrio, began selling rubber sandals with flowers painted on them. She noticed the profits gained by adding a cute design to the sandals and hired cartoonists to design cute characters for his merchandise. The company produced a line of character merchandise around gift-giving occasions. Hello Kitty was designed by Yuko Shimizu, and was added to the lineup of early Sanrio characters in 1974. When a front and side drawing of Hello Kitty, then unnamed, was shown to Yuko by Yuko to several other people in the company, including her assistant, they greatly preferred the side view drawing and praised it. When Shintaro Tsuji had first seen Hello Kitty, he didn't really have any strong opinions, but warmed up to her later on. When Hello Kitty was introduced to the United States in 1976, a year after the debut in Japan, Hello Kitty's popularity continued to boom throughout 1977. However, Yuko Shimizu, who's the one who originally designed Hello Kitty, left the same year Kitty first appeared in the United States, and as she had gotten married and focused on her family during that time.
That's fair.
Shimizu's former assistant, the same one who had declared the initial illustration so very kawaii of the oversaw Kitty during the boom years. She introduced incremental innovations like the first portrayal of Hello Kitty in the standing pose, but otherwise made a point of hewing closely to the predecessor's line work down to using a photocopied template of Kitty's face to ensure uniformity. Whether because of this conservative approach or because of the ever-changing whims of young children, the first Kitty fad ran out of steam around 1979. The Shimizu's assistant took the opportunity to announce her own retirement. First, she wanted to start a family of her own. Okay. All right.
Nice.
So after a long time, Sanrio made no particular effort to replace Hello Kitty's designer. And Yuko Yamaguchi joined Sanrio in the midst of the Kitty boom in 1978 at the age of 22, hoping to get a job focused on advertising. When Tsuji had learned of the team planning to abandon Kitty, he fought to keep her and decided to hold an in-house competition for new concepts of Hello Kitty. In the end, Yuko Yamaguchi won with her whimsical illustration of Hello Kitty sitting at a piano surrounded by an adoring family, a charming visual of a deeper backstory that had previously only been hinted at by Yamaguchi's predecessors. She was awarded the post of Hello Kitty's chief designer in 1980 and continues to be the character's designer to this day.
Wow, she's been doing that for a long time.
I know.
Incredible.
So, in May of 2008, Japan named Hello Kitty the ambassador of Japanese tourism. We knew this already, to China and Hong Kong, which are two places where the character is exceptionally popular among children and young women. This marked the first time Japan's tourism ministry had appointed a fictional character to the role. Hello Kitty's popularity began waning in Japan before the year 2000. And in 2002, Kitty lost her place as the top grossing character in Japan in the character databank popularity chart, which is amazing that they have that.
Right.
And has never recovered. In 2010... survey, she was third place behind Anpanman and Pikachu from Pokemon, which like totally makes sense.
It does. It really does.
As of August 2007, Thai police officers who have committed minor transgressions, such as showing up late or parking in the wrong place, are forced to wear pink Hello Kitty armbands for several days as penance.
Oh no, not a pink armband.
Yep. Yep. So everybody knows. During the financial crisis of 2007 and 2010, a poster of Hello Kitty prepaid debit card expanded to roughly 1 meter in length and was displayed on the floor of the U.S. Senate by Senator Byron Dorgan as a demonstration of extreme methods used by credit card companies to attract children 10 to 14 years of age. Though not an actual credit card, it was criticized for its promotional website encouraging users to shop till you drop.
I would love a freaking Hello Kitty credit card or debit card. Are you kidding?
I think the problem is that we're adults and that's fine.
Children,
but like
not
14
so much.
Year olds probably shouldn't have that. And it's a prepaid debit card though, so it's like not that big of, big of a deal.
I love this.
Yeah.
But in fairness, we also have toys for children that they go grocery shopping and stuff. So isn't that technically the same thing?
I don't know. I don't know.
I want a credit card with Hello Kitty on it.
Girl, same.
Make this happen.
For the 50th anniversary of Sanrio and Girl Skateboards, collaborated and released skateboards with Hello Kitty, with a Hello Kitty graphic. A Hello Kitty store in Africa opened in 2013.
Wow.
There is a themed restaurant named for Hello Kitty in Taipei, Taiwan. The restaurant's decor and many of the dishes are designed after the Hello Kitty character. Also, side note, this is just a random fact that I know, that Taiwan is the original place for boba.
Yes.
Just, I don't know if that's like an everybody knows that, but just putting that out there since we're in the same region.
Also, if you like boba, we did do a stream pod on it, so feel free to check out our YouTubes for more info on boba.
Did we really?
Mm-hmm. It was like one of the first ones we did.
Okay. I have no memory of that.
I made a PowerPoint and everything.
I know you did.
It was very cute.
I don't remember it at all. Okay.
Yeah, we did one. But so if you want more info on that, go check out our YouTube. And it's in our playlists for MCP Strames.
Strames. Okay. Hello Kitty is included as part of the Sanrio livery at the Japanese theme parks Harmony Land and Sanrio Puro Land. The Hello Kitty brand rose to greater prominence during the late 1990s. At the same time, several celebrities such as Mariah Carey, Lady Gaga, have adopted Hello Kitty as a fashion statement.
Fair.
Hello Kitty cameos with Kuropi and Bats Maru in the first few minutes of the 2018 film Ready Player One. Hello Kitty also gets a few more appearances in the film, such as a motorcycle decal and as a costume.
Love.
On April 21st, 2020, Hello Kitty made an official crossover live action video called Shamajiro and Hello Kitty in an Exercise with Friends, in which the mascots of Shamajiro and Hello Kitty joined together to get people to dance and exercise during the coronavirus pandemic.
So cute.
There are also many songs based on Hello Kitty. Two of the most popular are by Slater, which I've never heard of, and Avril Lavigne.
Excuse me, that is Slater.
Slater. Three Y's.
That's so many Y's. I should respell my name, so I'm Kirsten. Just really get grungy with it.
Indeed.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So obviously Hello Kitty has a huge impact. In the second half, we're going to go over some conspiracy theories about Hello Kitty. Mostly just relating to the fact that she is, in fact, a child and not a cat. And also we're going to go over some other characters that we think Hello Kitty might have been based off of.
Ooh, scandalous.
Scandalous. And then we'll talk about her friends and some more merch. So
I love all of those things.
Yeah. We'll see you after the break.
Congratulations. You've made it to the ad segment of the podcast.
Don't worry. The podcast is now, thankfully, halfway over, and we think you'll have what it takes to push through to the end. You got this.
We completely understand if you have to bow out for now, but if you do, make sure to come back at some point to try and finish what you started. Or not. That's also fine.
If you got what it takes to continue,
we know you do.
Keep listening so you can get this over with, and be sure to tune in to future
mediocre content.
Welcome back. This is your friendly reminder that Hello Kitty is in fact a girl and not a cat.
I am so glad that we warmed up right before this and chatted nonstop about conspiracy theories.
We literally took...
To be ready.
Yeah. We took like 45 minutes just to chat in the middle. So
this is great.
We hope you guys paused the episode and also chatted with your BFF.
We encourage it.
Okay, so there are many different conspiracy theories. They're not like, it's not that juicy. Okay, don't get excited.
It's a cartoon cat, you know.
But it's interesting. So sure. We're gonna talk about it. Obviously, we know that Hello Kitty was not a real cat in the way that her She also, in the universe, has a pet cat,
which is so
called
weird.
Charmy Kitty.
Catception.
And Hello Kitty is portrayed as standing, and her cat is on all fours, which is the distinction between animals and pets in this particular universe, I guess. So many interpreted the statement that Hello Kitty was not a cat in a literal sense, resulting in the idea that Hello Kitty is actually a human girl, with her cat-like features being simply an aesthetic design choice. Supporting this, the name Kitty is actually a real, although passé, diminutive for the name Catherine.
Is it?
Allegedly.
I have never heard a Catherine call themselves Kitty. That is so... Yeah. I want to be a Catherine now.
Okay.
Mom, I'm changing my name. It's still a K. It still counts.
It still counts. Well, and you can go with cat, too.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Well, no, I can't, because there's already a cat in your life. It would have to be Kitty.
Yeah, you're right.
I can't take that from her.
I would love to call you Kitty. That would be so funny.
I'm pretty close at Kiki, to be fair.
That's fair. I also think that it would go with your overall grandma aesthetic.
It would. Maybe when I'm in the nursing home, I'll have everyone call. I'll introduce myself as Kitty, and that'll be my alias in the nursing home.
And I'll be there too, and I'll just go along with it. But I'll know.
I'll be
the only one who knows the true lore.
I'm secretly a human girl.
That's right.
Oh my god.
Okay. So this would imply that Hello Kitty's full legal name is Catherine George White.
Oh, sorry. Where's the George coming from?
You know, that's a great question.
They didn't even explain that.
Well, they didn't explain that at all.
Okay.
Of course, those who believe that Hello Kitty actually was supposed to be a human girl never referred to her by this hypothetical legal name. The controversy surrounding the idea of Hello Kitty actually being human became widespread, to the point that Preston Froh of Rocket News 24 called Sanrio's Japanese PR department to ask about the matter. The PR representative responded and said, "We never said she was human." And that was in August. And that was in August 28th of 2014.
What a response.
The representative clarified that Hello Kitty was a
Gajinka? That's what I would say.
I apologize to anyone that is offended by my pronunciation, which is a anthropomorphic cat, which adds yet another layer of this.
Yeah.
But basically, the vibe is they're saying just like Mickey Mouse, where like Disney, the character is not mistaken for a human, but isn't quite a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And Hello Kitty is similar to that. I guess.
Okay.
Online publication Kotaku is also called Sanrio's Tokyo headquarters to have this question answered. The representative responded to them by saying, "Hello Kitty is done in a motif of a cat. It's going too far to say that Hello Kitty is not a cat, but Hello Kitty is a personification of a cat."
It's getting deep.
Yeah.
So deep.
Okay, so basically, do with that information what you will.
Right.
Another thing is that Hello Kitty might be a knockoff of a different cartoon character called Miffy.
Oh.
Miffy is a bunny.
I was
going to
say, isn't Miffy a bunny, though?
Miffy is a bunny that is white, but has, like, the black dots for eyes, similar shaping. But has two cat, instead of cat ears, bunny ears.
Sure.
The Dutch artist Dick Bruna, creator of Ninji Flutus, outside of the Dutch language as Miffy, has suggested that Hello Kitty is a copy of Miffy, who debuted in 1955, being rendered in a similar minimalist and cute style, with both characters typically lacking an obvious mouth. Okay.
So are the X's the nose?
Yes.
Okay.
Supporting his belief Dick Bruna's company, Mercedes Media, on his behalf, sued Sanrio directly in 2010 over 2010. Hello Kitty's friend Kathy, claiming that the character infringed on Miffy's copyright and trademark. Sanrio countersued, going as far as attempting to revoke Miffy's trademark rights entirely. Ultimately, following the disastrous March of 2011 earthquake in Japan, both parties settled out of court, donating 150,000 euros to relief funds of the 9.0 magnitude earthquake's incredible damage.
Yeah, because sorry, Cat versus Bunny isn't really taking press. Yeah. Also, they debuted Miffy in 1955. Uh-huh. Freaking Hello Kitty debuted in what, 1974, 1975 is what you said? So yeah. You decided, oh, yeah, 2010, yeah, we're going to take you down. You have had so many years, and you're in different parts of the world.
It makes me feel like maybe they were running out of money and just, like, needed some money, maybe.
Miffy, also, just side note, looks like Ruby from Max and Ruby to me.
1,000%. 1,000%. Like, that's more of a case than the Hello Kitty argument. I agree. All right, so Sanrio was from then on forbidden from using Kathy in any capacity. So that was one of Hello Kitty's friends that we no longer see.
Sad.
Going as far as editing Kathy out of media, which originally featured her in re-releases. Despite Dick Bruna's statement on the Daily Telegraph, Hello Kitty herself was seldom mentioned in the lawsuit, only insofar as clarifying that she was Kathy's friend.
Nobody else can make a white bunny, apparently.
Apparently not. So and he tried to make Hello Kitty illegal. A related conspiracy theory to the above rose from an aforementioned Kathy lawsuit and Dick Bruna's statement on Hello Kitty.
This theory proposes
that the Kathy lawsuits were not intended to solely prohibit Kathy specifically from being used by Sanrio, but that Mercedes Media and, by extension, Dick Bruna himself were using the Kathy lawsuits as a backdoor to outlaw the entire Hello Kitty franchise.
What?
And they would have filed another lawsuit against Hello Kitty herself and demand either royalties for her usage or for Sanrio to stop producing Hello Kitty media and content entirely.
Disgusting behavior. You had so many years in between, over 20 years difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other argument is that Kathy, at least the virgin concerned in the Kathy lawsuits, does not actually resemble Miffy enough to Mercedes to have had been reasonably justified in filing a
I'm looking it up.
I can tell the clacking is loud. Filing a lawsuit against Sanrio, although Kathy's previous incarnation, Little Honey, didn't look like a copy of Miffy, Little Honey is never brought up in the legal documents surrounding the lawsuits.
I have two things to say.
Yes.
Number one, the freaking bunny, Kathy, is literally just Hello Kitty as a bunny. Okay. Right. They literally looked at Hello Kitty and said, how can we make that something else? And they made it a rabbit. All right. Yep. That's number one. Number two, you didn't really do a whole lot, because while Hello Kitty does no longer have Kathy, what they do have is My Melody, which I'm sure you'll talk about later. She is also a rabbit that looks almost identical to what Kathy looks like. The only difference is My Melody has an ear folded down. Like, get out of here with your BS.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like maybe there was some ill intent.
Absolutely. Just trying to cancel their entire franchise. It's a cat versus a rabbit. Get out.
You're right. I am on your side.
I'm going to talk to this guy.
Okay. So the other character that we had some lawsuits with was Hello Kitty is a knockoff of Musty, which is. Quote, although it is evident to everyone that Kitty was an imitation of Musty, Sanrio, the publisher of Hello Kitty, have not touched on it. So Ray Goosen, designed Musty, and does look more similar to Hello Kitty, in my opinion, given that this character is a cat.
Sure.
So in the Belgian cartoonist Ray Goossens' character Musty, Hello Kitty does not resemble Musty more than Miffy, as both Musty and Hello Kitty are cat characters. Both lack an obvious mouth, and both are drawn in simplistic, cute ways, and both are primarily marketed towards children. This version was first proposed by the Extraordinary Ordinary Guy in Japan through his blog Post Copycat on September 11th, 2004. Likely further explanations for Musty For the Musty version of this theory are that Musty is more obscure than either Miffy or Hello Kitty, making its proponents more satisfied in believing it. Musty's creation predated that of Hello Kitty, and that as previously mentioned, Musty and Hello Kitty may look more alike each other than the latter looks like Miffy. So basically, nothing legal has happened here. It's just everyone thinks that Hello Kitty is a knockoff of that particular character.
I mean, look, I feel like it's really hard to find an original character these days, even if you design it completely different. Uh-huh. Looking at them, while I could see a resemblance, there's also like art styles that are significantly different that to me and the storyline differentiate them enough where
I agree. It's
like, you know, just a little nitpicky, I guess.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, that's the nature of lawsuits, right? Just being nitpicky for
funsies.
For fun. So we're going to do a little bit more of a deep dive into the merchandise. Obviously, we touched on earlier that Hello Kitty is literally on a variety of different things. And the products can range from everyday items to rare collectibles. Sanrio.com is where you can buy these things, not sponsored. As of 2009, Bank of America began offering Hello Kitty themed checking accounts.
Kirsten. I'm in the wrong bank.
where the account holder can get checks and a Visa debit card with Hello Kitty's face on it.
I'm so distraught.
MasterCard debit cards have featured Hello Kitty as a design since 2004.
Darn.
Sanrio and various corporate partners have released Hello Kitty branded products, including the Hello Kitty Stratocaster electric guitar since 2006 with Fender, and even an Airbus A330 commercial passenger jet airliner dubbed the Hello Kitty Jet from 2005 to 2009 with EVA Airways in Taiwan.
There's a Pokemon one, too.
There is a Pokemon one. You're right. Mm-hmm. In 2009, marked the collaboration between apparel and accessory brand Stussy and Hello Kitty. Stussy worked with Hello Kitty on a collection focusing on the Hello Kitty character with Stussy signature graphics. The collection included T-shirts, keychains, and hoodies. In 2010, Hello Kitty entered the wine market with a collection made up of four wines available for purchase online, including the expansion of products targeted at older audiences.
How was I not? Well, I couldn't drink in 2010.
No, neither could I.
I was like, why?
Neither could I. In the spring of 2005, Simmons Jewelry Company and Sanrio announced a co-branded jewelry licensing partnership, Kimora Lee Simmons, for Hello Kitty. And if you know her, if the name sounds familiar, it's because she had a reality show on E! Back in the day when, like, what is that model show? Not America's Next Top Model. It was the other one. Janice Ian had, like, a model show. I don't know if anyone
sounds
knows
familiar.
About this. Anyway, launched exclusively with Neiman Marcus, prices ranging from $300 to $5,000. Designed by Kimora Lee Simmons and launched as an initial collection. The jewelry is all handmade, consisting of diamonds, gemstones, and semi-precious stones, 18-karat gold, sterling silver, and enamel and ceramic. In fall of 2008, they did another collaboration with Zales, and some more, and like the Kimora Lee Simmons jewelry brand. And they did watches this time as well.
Fancy.
And the retail prices were much more acceptable. Sure. They were around starting at $50.
That's a little more manageable.
Hello Kitty also has a Funko Pop.
They do.
That was in 2019. The Funko Pop ranges from Hello Kitty with a Cup of Noodles, Classic Hello Kitty, Rainbow Pride Hello Kitty, which appeared in the America market, including Hot Topic and
they
Box
also
Lunch.
Had their 50th anniversary Hello Kitty Funko Pop, yes, which is also out now.
Mm-hmm. Kirsten's big into the Funko Pops. She knows.
I know you guys can't see me, but if you come to stream and you look up at the top of my bookshelf, is all Funko Pops.
Yes. I really like the Bulbasaur big one.
Oh, he's huge. I know.
And he's like,
also
makes like the weird face.
Shout out to Dragon Ball Z, RIP. But there's also up here, I have two Shenrons. The reason I have two is because one of them freaking glows in the dark. Because why not?
Wow.
It's a little dragon guy over there.
We love that.
Anyway, that's not Hello Kitty.
music. Hello Kitty has her own branded album, Hello World, featuring Hello Kitty inspired songs performed by a collection of artists, including Kiki Palmer, Corey Yarkin, and under Hello Kitty's record label, Lakeshore Records. Hello Kitty was also chosen by AH Software to become a Vocaloid. The choice was attributed to the fact that it was their 50th year anniversary, and the Vocaloid was named Nikomura Irona. Is that Iroha?
Aroha? Yeah.
And was released in Japan, in fancy Japanese.
Oh.
All right. There's Hello Kitty games. Lots of them. the first one came out for Nintendo in 1992. However, a lot of these games were not released outside of Japan.
Satch.
So just be aware of that. There's a lot of Hello Kitty's friends also have games, including Karopi. And special edition versions of the various classic consoles, such as the Hello Kitty Dreamcast, Hello Kitty Game Boy Pocket, Hello Kitty Crystal Edition Xbox, have also been released exclusively in Japan. In 1996, Big Top Productions released Hello Kitty Big Fun Deluxe for Macs and Windows with three guest characters, Joey Mouse, Kathy Rabbit, scandalous, and Thomas Bear, making so appearances stupid within the game. She's had crossover content with Nintendo Wii, Super Mario franchise has crossed over with her. In 2016, she, alongside other fellow Sanrio characters, made playable guest appearances in Sega's mobile app game Sonic Dash.
So fun.
In 2021 and 2023, Hello Kitty and several other Sanrio characters made an appearance in Animal Crossing Pocket Camp mobile game of the Animal Crossing series. Very
Can
exciting.
I also say that yes, I got the character crossover pack for Sanrio on the Switch, and I can buy like Pom Pom Purin and Hello Kitty stuff for my islands and stuff.
Wow.
Bro,
amazing.
It's so cute, man.
It's so cute.
I need more coins.
Oh, man. In 2010, Hello Kitty made an appearance in a very difficult fan-made PC game known as the I Wanna Be the Boshi. She appears as the first boss character.
Whoa.
yeah. So, in addition to that, there's Hello Kitty Cafe, one of the most popular brands in the world. It is no surprise that there are Hello Kitty-inspired stores and theme parks in Japan. Many Sanrio stores have a large number of Hello Kitty merchandise. In fact, there are showrooms dedicated to Hello Kitty. There's also a Sanrio theme park, which we talked about. And in Las Vegas is one of the best places for Hello Kitty enthusiasts to visit. All the food and drinks are made with adorable, cute patterns, and Hello Kitty merchandise is sold there as well.
Bro, we could go to Las Vegas and go to the cafe.
Yeah, we should.
We should.
Hello Kitty Cafe in Las Vegas.
Heck yes. It's been a long time since I've been to Vegas.
Totally. All right. So now I'll introduce you briefly to her friends and her squad, I guess.
Her posse.
with a brief description in rapid fire. Here we go.
Here we go.
Number one is Karopi. He's a green frog with big eyes and a wide smile. My Melody, a pink bunny with big ears and a red bow.
Scandalous.
Bats Maru, released in 1993. Bats Maru is a penguin with a mischievous personality. He is one of the few characters with a scowl, but he is still one of Hello Kitty's friends. Likes to play for the wrong side.
That's right. Bats Maru.
Kirsten, how do you pronounce this one, number four?
Pochaco.
Pochaco. Thank you. A white dog with big ears and a blue bow. Pochaco is a curious dog who loves going for walks. Cinema Roll, a white puppy with big ears and a pink bow. His coolest feature is his large ears, which allow him to fly, and his cinnamon roll shaped tail.
I didn't know he was based on a puppy.
I didn't know that either.
Hmm.
Tuxedo Sam,
so
a penguin
cute.
With a bow tie. Actually, he has a collection of 365 bow ties.
one for every day
of the year. He loves to eat and has served in several Navy battles, which is so random.
All right.
Tuxedo Sam has one of the most impeccable fashion senses in Hello Kitty.
He actually does.
There's Charmy Kitty, which is Hello Kitty's pet cat. We talked about her a little bit earlier. She's a white cat with a pink bow. Dear Daniel, he is just a cat. He's a cat like Hello Kitty and is her childhood friend and boyfriend.
Oh.
Dear Daniel is quite fashionable and loves taking pictures. He can even dance ballet and wants to become a celebrity.
Wow.
I guess if you're dating Hello Kitty, like, you're kind of a celebrity.
I guess so, yeah.
Choco Cat is a scatterbrained black cat with a brown nose and a red collar. He's usually the first to know about things because his whiskers can pick up information like an antenna.
And some honorable mentions are Pom Pom Purin, which is also mm-hmm. a dog. He's super yep. stinking cute.
Yep.
And shoot, what's the other one? There's like I don't know if they're necessarily her friends, but in the same franchise, there's like little twin Stars and Kuromi
oh,
and
yes.
stuff like that.
Yes,
but
you're right.
Those were like after the show and everything. So yeah, anyway, they're very cute. They're all very adorable and they all look very much the same, just like in different animal forms, I guess.
Yeah. Like Gudetama is
Gudetama,
in there too.
The little egg guy. Yeah.
Mimi, obviously Hello mm-hmm. Kitty's sister.
She's also very cute.
Where are they? Little twin Stars, you mm-hmm. said them.
Mm-hmm.
Kuromi, mm-hmm. who's like an evil.
Yes. And she is also in a giant form if you go to Build-A-Bear. Okay. This thing is massive.
Oh my God.
If you want a giant Kuromi doll, go to Build-A-Bear.
I've been trying to get Chris to take me to Build-A-Bear.
It's so fun there.
It's so fun there. Again, we are 30-year-old women.
I am not ashamed. look behind me and you tell me if I'm ashamed.
You're right. All right. And that concludes our Hello Kitty episode.
Do you have a favorite?
I mean, Hello Kitty.
Sure.
Honestly, the original. I am also partial to My Melody and Gudetama, I
yeah.
think.
No, that makes sense.
They're super cute. I like that Gudetama is just an egg.
Yeah, because I feel like an egg sometimes too.
Yeah,
just a runny egg.
What about you? Who are your faves?
I wasn't not a Hello Kitty fan, but I really liked Cinema Roll and Choco Cat. When I was in high school, Choco Cat was my jam. Okay, I had T-shirts, I had keychains.
Understood.
It was very much the thing. So anyway, those are my favorite. And also, we want to know who y'all's favorite is. Do you have a favorite Sanrio character? What do you feel about the conspiracy theories on Hello Kitty and her, I guess, dupes?
Dupes?
Dupes. Is that the word we're going to use? I think so. Anyway, feel free to let us know. As always, you can send us an email at mediocrecontentpodcast@gmail.com. You can also connect with us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Leave us a comment or slide into our DMs. We don't mind. Or connect with us on Twitch every other Thursday for a live opportunity to chat with us directly and tell us how wrong we are, because we really enjoy that. And you can choose your time zone. That's 3 p.m. PST, 6 p.m. EST, 11 p.m. BST, and if it's not one of those, you'll just have to Google it. Sorry about that. Don't forget to rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to podcasts: Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Pandora, I've run out of options. And we will see you next week.
This has been Mediocre Content.
Thanks so much for listening. Cheers.
Cheers.